Yeah. And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Wednesday Night Wrestling Inc. podcast. I am Alfred Kunawa, joined as always by the hardest working man in all of podcasting. His name is Matt Morgan. How you doing, Matt?
Half asleep, but doing great. How are you guys?
Doing great. We had a big show tonight. We're going to start with AEW Dynamite and the debut of Shaq with the owner of Wrestling Inc., Mr. Raj Giri.
How's it going, guys?
Good, good. Good to be alive. Very newsworthy shows, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, Dynamite was, I mean, that first 75 to 80 minutes of Dynamite was just, a breakneck pace that they were on. It was just nonstop. I mean, the way they were going in the next segment, it was so fast. It was so, it felt like from another era, you know, where you had those just crazy shows that just moved so quickly. So I thought it was one of their best shows that they've done.
Usually you want a little bit of breathing room, right, to digest what you just saw. But when you go, I'm still watching a lot of the Attitude stuff, Monday Night Raws from episode to episode to episode in its full entirety. And it was the same way. Mm-hmm. And it breaks everything I was ever taught of using the analogy of when you're wrestling in a ring, for example, to when you hit a big move, back off your opponent a little bit, let it, all the fans digest it, let them digest your character with your mannerisms and your expressions and your body language and get your character over now for a couple seconds, right? Same thing with the show's pacing. But in the Attitude Era, they kind of broke all of those, that rule of thumb, and it worked because I don't forget what I watched from segment to segment. You know, from a Val Venus segment to a Road Warrior segment to DX to all these bang, bang, bang segments. And that's what it felt like tonight. I know people don't like comparisons to the Attitude Era, but the pacing of it felt like I saw important, like that. It was kind of stacked that way tonight. And I could not watch NXT to save my life. Like, I was trying. And AEW was not letting you watch a single second. Yeah. During those 90 minutes, like, they literally were reaching through the TV screen like, nope, you're watching our shit.
The only time I watched, and you know, that I could pay full attention to NXT tonight was LA Knight when he cut his promo. Outside of that.
Even that, I don't feel like I gave it enough. And I was so excited to hear him.
Yeah,
that might have been one of the problems, though. There's so many non-wrestling segments on NXT that were going on the same time as something crazy on AEW.
You know, they started off with that Shaq match. They knew they were probably going to bring in some new fans watching. So I think they wanted to do that and, like, not give them a chance to turn away. And it worked. Yeah. The only gripe I would say is that there was no Kenny Omega or Jon Moxley, even though that's the main event of the pay-per-view on Sunday. Oh, yeah. I mean, they did have that video package, which was, it was really good. But I just think instead of doing the Hangman Page, Matt Hardy, tag match at the end. Why not do something with Omega and Moxley? Unless there's a reason they couldn't be there, or one of them couldn't be there.
Could be.
Yeah.
Oh, Mox is in Japan. No.
No, no. That match was taped in the U.S. But
yeah.
Is that why? That's why there was nobody in the arena.
Right. Yeah.
I watched it. And I was like, in Japan, I thought they're bringing their fans back in, but I noticed nobody was in there. So that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that is a great point. So much happened that I didn't even stop to think that they weren't there live. I know that they're going into that AEW dark, or I mean the Road to Revolution, so maybe they're going to have something really big in terms of how they're going to promote that match. But a very odd choice not to have your main event on the go-home show, as big as this show was.
Yeah. But it was an excellent show. Again, I thought it was one of their best.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
So we'll get right into Dynamite. Started off with a bang. Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet with Arn Anderson in their corner again. Shaq and Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill comes out just looking like a million bucks. I mean, she looks like a future superstar. You know, Shaq is gigantic. He looked, you know, like 10 feet tall in there. Cody and Red Velvet. Red Velvet has a good presence too.
Yes, she does.
So yeah, they, you know, this match was way better than it should have been. you know, considering that Jade Cargill and Shaq have never wrestled on national television, and Red Velvet's only had 3 matches on national television as far as Dynamite right. goes. I mean, she's had a lot of matches on Dark. So, I mean, this was, I mean, they went for it in this match. There was a spot where, near the finish of the match where they had 2 tables set up, and gosh, I forgot how they set it up. Alfred, maybe you can help me out.
It was Jade Cargill set one of them up, and I think a Red Velvet set the other one up right next to it.
Right, but how they went through, like, what caused Cody and Shaq to go through? Like,
oh, Cody jumped on Shaq. It was like a cross body, and they both went through it. Yeah.
Yeah. So really good stuff. At the end, we saw Velvet hit a spear. Only got a 2 count. There were a couple of pile driver reversals. Cargill blocked the punch, lift, and drove Red Velvet face first into the mat to get the 3. They sold Shaq like he was dead outside after that table spot. I mean, he did a great job selling like he was dead. He was not moving. They did a stretcher job with him, which was kind of cool. But then it was kind of weird. They put him in an ambulance, and they were checking on him. They opened it, and he wasn't in there. So I couldn't tell if that was a tease that he was going to be back later in the night, but... all in all, really good stuff. Matt, what'd you think?
I mean, you were saying earlier about setting the tables up. I may have taken my eyes off this for 1 second here. Did you say the 2 girls set the tables up?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, that's something right away that they should not be putting those girls in that situation yet. Or anybody in that situation just yet. I know it sounds simple. How hard is it to set up a table? It isn't that simple, actually. And it's nerve-wracking. I'll give you an example. Same with a chair shot. My first time hitting anybody with a chair was I was supposed to hit Big Show, ironically. We were talking about it before the show. I had to hit him with a chair shot when I was bodyguarding Carlito. If you go back and watch it, it was on SmackDown. And I had the chair upside frigging down. Like, not even holding the legs, guys. I'm holding, like, the top part of the chair. Like, what the hell was I thinking? Because I got nervous. And I had never had experiences of doing it, as simple as it sounds. And I've watched it a million times. These girls have probably seen it a million times, too, tables being set up. But luckily, nothing bad happened. But that's asking a lot of them. Being very inexperienced, greener than goose shit still. You got to be very careful with not trying to expose people to things that could have gotten somebody else injured, quite frankly. But luckily, it panned out.
And to your point, they did have QT Marshall out there, who was actually helping Red Velvet set up one of those tables, because I think they were having – I don't know if they're going a little slow with setting them up. But yeah, as you pointed out, it's not as easy as it looks to do it and do it quickly.
No, especially the first time you're doing it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the only problem I had with this match, the one spot I had, was with the most experienced guy in the match, was Cody taking that giant power bomb from Shaq, and he was up like 3 or 4 seconds later and body slammed Shaq. I mean, that was a huge, power slam. I mean, not a power slam, power bomb.
So 2 things. One, that should have been a finish, obviously. Mm-hmm. 2, I don't buy Cody body slamming Shaq. I'm sorry. Cody's not a body guy. When Hulk Hogan slammed Andre, made sense. Hogan was a body guy. Big, strong. He's always talking about his 24-inch pythons, brother. Right. It made sense. He sucked people's energy in to get stronger, kind of like Warrior used to do. It made sense. Cody's skinny ass dude? No.
Right.
No.
Yeah, you never saw Bret Hart slamming Yokozuna. You
know? It wouldn't work. It's not part of, you know what I mean? I'm not crapping on him for it, but it was tough for me to suspend my disbelief for it. But we're judging this, Alfred, from the lens of this should have been a real shit show. This should have been a complete debacle,
right.
And it wasn't. They did an amazing job with this. This served its purpose, big time.
Yeah,
this really was excellent. I mean, again, to Matt's point, I had a pretty low bar for this match. I expected them to use smoke and mirrors and make it into something of a good wrestling match, but this was good on its own merit. I really liked Shaq's performance. Like, you never know what you're going to get out of Shaq. I thought that there was a chance that he might be a little bit too much of a cartoon or not take it as seriously, but he was selling. His facials were great. I thought he looked like an actual killer. I want to see more of him in a pro wrestling ring. And I just thought this match was really good. Everybody did a great job. And in terms of Jade Cargill, like, she doesn't even have to be good in terms of a wrestler in order to be a big star. She just has to be okay. And this, if this is her debut, I mean, the sky's the limit in terms of not only being this great presence, which is how they're going to make their money off her, but a very good wrestler. I mean, this is a very good performance from Jade Cargill, I thought.
WWE messed out with her, boy. Big time.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to get her. It wasn't, you know, I
should have signed her. Should have signed her.
I think she just had a better offer from AEW.
Wow.
Sorry, guys. One second. Some sad news. I don't know. I just got it verified. Jim Crockett Jr. Passed away. Crockett Promotions. He was really sick. And yeah, he passed away. We'll have more on Wrestling Inc. But I mean, obviously, the face of wrestling as we know it is influenced by Jim Crockett.
Yeah, no question. No doubt. Our condolences to their family, obviously. That's terrible.
100% RIP.
Yeah. Jody Shauna Jenkins with the $5 Canadian super chat saying, a couple quick things. I guess we know where Sean Spears has been. He was being trained on camera use. Also, I'm all in on Max Caster in singles. Did I miss something on why Anthony Bowens wasn't out there?
No, I don't think I heard an excuse as to why I wasn't out there. It was just Max Caster. I know they were doing a one-on-one match, but you'd expect him to at least second Max Caster, but there was no mention of him, I don't think.
Yeah, because they had who interviewed at the end, and it wasn't his partner. It wasn't Bowens. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Krana Shah saying RIP Jim Crockett Jr. Ryan W. saying, must see TV was AEW Dynamite tonight. Bravo.
Yeah,
it was, again, one of their best episodes, I thought. Stellar Justin Lopez saying, I only cared about the women's tag team title match on NXT, but they brought out Paul White and I couldn't pay full attention. Oh, they brought out Paul White and couldn't pay full attention to NXT. Well done by AEW.
Yeah. As somebody who has to watch every segment of NXT for this show, I have to admit it was kind of a challenge for me to keep my full attention on NXT. I did it, but it was very hard. That's how good AEW was tonight.
It is. And chat rumors, try to keep up with where we're at on the show if you can, if that's possible with your chats. If you could, please.
Yeah. JJ Smith saying, all right, Jim Crockett. By the way, AEW has a Revolution one-hour countdown special airing on TNT right now for extra build. Those countdown specials are always really good.
Yeah, they are.
And finally, Justin Lopez saying, I was sports entertained by this. Shaq put in a lot of effort, even though in his promos, he looked like he didn't take it seriously. I'm sold on Jade. Yeah.
I would hope you're sold on Jade. Jade's the most viable male or female I've seen in quite some time. That's not hyperbole.
Yeah. So up next, they went back, as we mentioned, and Tony said he saw Shaq late loaded in the ambulance. They opened the doors. He wasn't in there, and they didn't know where he went. After that, we had Ray Phoenix and Pac against John Skyler and D3. This was – I don't know if the main event went a little long because this was super short, quick squash match. Pac nailed a 450. Phoenix tagged in, lifted Skyler, knee to the face, and finished him with the package cut, with the package cutter.
So this is what's happened, Raj. You've been conditioned now to top stars on AEW not jobbing out jobbers when they're supposed to do so, and carrying on for 10-minute matches when they should be 10-second matches. I like this being short. This was what it needed to be.
Especially not, considering all the craziness we saw on the show and how crazy that first segment was, they needed a come down. So, I mean, if you could just think if Pac and Phoenix would have just had a normal match, there may have been no resting in terms of going through this show like that. That's not what needed to happen. I'm glad they just kind of brought it down with a quick squash match.
I'm just saying, usually it's surprising because AEW doesn't do matches that short. So
yeah,
no.
So, but yeah, I agree. I liked it.
Glad they don't do that, by the way.
Yeah. So, a quick match, and then we went to a MJF and Chris Jericho Inner Circle press conference. Dasha was the moderator. The first question, you couldn't hear what was asked. It was somebody from Barstool Sports. And he said that it's been a year since Jericho said it's been a year since he lost the AEW World Championship. So it's about time he becomes champion again. yada, yada, yada. Eric Bischoff was one of the guys in the crowd asking a question. He asked about the Young Bucks' dad. He said if they knew the condition of Papa Buck. MJF went off, said they didn't care. He taught them, you know, everything they need. Just basically ripped on them. And then the Young Bucks music hit. They came to the stage, weren't pleased. They talked about what their dad did for them, said he was the best father in the world, taught him about, you know, faith and being a good person. And they said they taught him all the things that MJF and Chris's father clearly didn't. And then we went to a big brawl. And at the end, the Young Bucks put they put a couple of Inner Circle guys through tables. So, yeah, I mean, it was a wild brawl. And, yeah, your guys' thoughts?
Raj. That...
I told you, I'm not good at the play-by-play.
I'm sorry. I like it. It's good. He's doing well.
I'm sorry. All right.
Don't worry, guys. Buck. Alfred will be doing the NXT play-by-play.
No, that was good. It's just I like the Bucks making it real, talking about legit. I know them, and what they said about their dad's 100% true. That's how they feel about him, so it wasn't a work, right? Anytime you have opportunity spliced in reality, we always say we like it. That's what they did here. At first, I wasn't a fan of them jumping Papa Buck. I'm like, do the fans really care? Yeah. I think so. And I think more importantly, whether fans care or not, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that the Bucks care. They should be pissed. So now we have Bucks being put in a position in which they've got to really emote. And I thought they did a good job of that tonight. I liked it.
I absolutely love their promo on their dad. This is such a great promo. My only thing is I would have liked this promo to come before they beat up the Young Bucks dad, because when they did, when we were reviewing it, I felt nothing for that. But if I would have really – I mean, I'm familiar with the Young Bucks story, but if they would have cut this promo to where people are now familiar and invested with what he means to them and how good of a dad he is, because they did a great job displaying that, I mean, then you would have felt much worse when they beat up his dad.
You're right, Alfred.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's kind of catering to people that all, you know, that would already know, as opposed to, again, trying to get that wider audience. But still, outside of the Q&A part, I thought this segment was well done. There was a line that got a lot of people talking where Matt Jackson said, and he goes, and Chris, let's be speaking to Jericho. He said, and Chris, let's be honest, man, what would you be doing if there was no AEW? Oh, I know. You'd probably be jerking the curtain tonight at the Performance Center.
They did say that. Got him good.
Man, taking some shots. Cody taking some shots at NXT earlier tonight during the media call.
I don't know why, though, he think Chris Jericho, a Hall of Famer, would be jerking the curtain for NXT, though. That makes no sense. But definitely went for the gusto on that. Definitely, you know, went for the jugular.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, Alfred, we got a special sponsor tonight coming back after a while.
100% we do. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Now listen up, bluechew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed by online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging. Now, they're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. No awkwardness, and you don't have to leave the house. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use a special promo code WINC. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, BLUE2.com, promo code WINC to try it, what? Free. So that's to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So please be sure to use our promo code WINC at BlueChew.com. Now, I've never tried Blue Chew before, I have to admit, but I know people throughout the business who have. I've heard nothing but good things about Blue Chew.
We've had a lot of people. We've had Blue Chew on before. I've tried it before. We've had a lot of people on the podcast. Our listeners try it before. And they become regular subscribers. And again, you know, if you want to make date night a little extra special, try it out. It's free. You got nothing to lose. So definitely check it out. BlueChew.com. Promo code WINC. So back to Dynamite. Alfred, your thoughts on that shot that they took at Jericho in the Performance Center?
I mean, that was a little weird. Obviously, they're just doing that as part of the feud. I mean, I don't want to read too much into it that they're serious, that that's actually what Jericho would be doing. But you never know. I mean, the way WWE treats its quote-unquote legends and Hall of Famers, sometimes, like in the case of a Goldberg, they're going to be like main eventers and positioned well. But if you saw that Legends night, a lot of these legends, they kind of treat like dirt. And, Jericho has been pretty low ranking in WWE in terms of when he's, been in WWE in recent years.
He wouldn't be in NXT unless he was making a special appearance. No, not in NXT. Up next, they had a recap. They showed a video of the feud between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. They did a great job showing the exploding barbed wire death match between Terry Funk and Onita. And Onita was actually on here. And so I thought that was really cool because for fans that aren't hardcore fans from the 80s, they wouldn't, this is the first time ever hearing of this stipulation. So they did a really good job of selling just how chaotic this match could be. And yeah, explaining that the ropes are replaced by barbed wire and there's explosives all over the place. So, I thought it was a good promo. But again, I thought it was weird that neither guy was on the show tonight.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what this match needed because they've just been saying exploding barbed wire, like everybody's supposed to know what it means. I mean, there are people who watch wrestling regularly who are not familiar with this match type. So I'm glad that they had the actual footage from, I believe it was FMW. But it was really well done in terms of explaining what is in store for this weekend.
Yeah. Matt?
This is a little bit for me, though. And again, the bar is very high here when I'm saying this. I hope we get this and understand this. But this is when I did get my eyes a little bit over on NXT a little bit. But because we have to cover it. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I had to pick and choose moments when to get over there. This was what it was. This was good.
Yeah. We got JJ Smith with the $20 super chat. Wow, thanks, JJ.
Hey.
He said the major signing, I think AEW pulled a coup and signed Christian along with Paul White. There was no news that he signed the contract offer from WWE Rumble Week. He's been silent on Twitter since February 1st, and Mox wants him in AEW. Now, the word I did check on that, I did get word that Christian did sign his WWE contract.
Of course he did. He wants to be in the Hall of Fame. He will be in the Hall of Fame, both as a tag and as a single. Eventually, and Edge is there. His best friend is there. There's so much why he's back specifically with WWE. He's left WWE, made a name for himself as a singles act, big time with TNA. I was there when he debuted. He was a very big deal there, huge. He's already sowed his royal oat, so to speak, outside of WWE. He has no reason to go to AEW. Unless he's just looking for a payday, but he was smart with his money over the years and made a boatload of it.
Yeah.
No reason for him to go there. Sorry.
Yeah. Gil Gonzalez at the Super Chat saying, hey guys, thanks for another great podcast. AEW is such a breath of fresh air each week for me and a good break from WWE.
Yeah, it's better than WWE. No offense.
I am Error with the $5 super chat saying, I got a tingle whenever exploding barbed wire death match was said. I'm not a big hardcore fan, but this got me hyped.
Well, that's good.
Did you really get a tingle, though? A tingle? Was it a tingle, though?
You might need some Blue Chew if that's
yeah, like... if it's only a tingle, a little Blue Chew will help that go all the way up.
Yeah, it'll be more than a tingle with Blue Chew. Might last a little longer than you want, but you know.
So next up, we had FTR and Tully Blanchard with J.J. Dillon versus the Jurassic Express. Tully Blanchard's first match in 14 years. You know, he didn't do too much, but he did get physical. He took a couple bumps. There was one spot where he was acting like he was going to do a dive outside of the ring, but instead he did his famous Tully strut.
Perfect.
I thought that was great. Your thoughts on Tully on this match? I mean, we know that Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and
where FTR. But you were just glancing right over J.J. Dillon, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where did that come from?
It was random.
Back.
It was so they could do that horseman thing at the end.
There might be something to that. I don't know if they're going to go long-term with that, but it looked like they were teasing a new stable.
You can't do you can't do any horseman thing without Ric Flair. You could call it something else.
But there's something to be said to have two-fourths of the group. And when you really break it down, Flair was the face of it, no question. But the tag team of Tully and Arn, you know, that's a big deal too, though, right? So I liked this, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. I popped huge when Tully did that, though. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Which is good. He looked good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he looked like he was having fun. It brought back old memories for me, so I thought it was pretty cool.
Me too.
The finish of the match, FTR. So they were outside of the ring, and a masked man interfered, and that allowed FTR to get a Luchasaurus up in the spike pile driver. Tully delivered it, and Tully pinned Luchasaurus.
It's fine by me. That was a believable finish. I don't care how old you are. If you're dropped on your head in a spike pile driver, that is a believable finish. Yeah. So, like, the person, I could tag the person in the front row as a fan to come into the ring and make that pin, and it's believable. You're knocked out. You have a concussion. Your neck is jammed up. You're knocked out. Like, there's no coming back from that. It's a believable finisher.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I was actually going to ask you, how do you do it? It seems like you have to do it with kitty gloves, because if you do put much pressure on it, you could cause it to go way wrong.
You're pantomiming. Yeah, you're pantomiming. You're just touching the tops of your shoes. That's about it. And then the guy who pile drives you does not let your head touch the mat, obviously. The last second, they close their legs together, and their head essentially is bouncing into the dude's nuts, if I'm being honest, and quads, and takes the bounce there. But still, I don't like it, because you're still upside down, and even – let's see if this works. Where's the camera? All right, so here's the dude's legs. I'm trying my best here, folks. Pile driver looks like this, right? Boom, right? Or boom, right? Legs close at the last second. You can see my fingers. Head hits here. But still, in that fashion, you're still jamming your neck up a little bit, I will argue, for injury purposes. That could still happen. But it's safe. And a big part of it is you hold the dude. If I'm giving the pile driver to you, Raj, I'm really holding you tight here in a bear hug position and really absorbing a lot of it up here and trying to keep your head from the weight really distributing on your head and neck on my quads and on my ball, so to speak.
Some people are asking about the Horseman trademark. Yeah, it was Arn Anderson did file for that in October last year. So,
I mean, Flair was in it longer. What am I even thinking? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would be a mistake to call these guys the horsemen. I mean, you don't want that mantle on this group.
No.
So I don't know how they would use it, but it better not be to name these guys.
Yeah. I mean, if you had Cody in as the fourth, I mean, it would not try in Ric Flair's spot. No way.
Cody's still figuring his identity out, I realized again tonight. He's still figuring out his identity. He cuts these great promos. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to be too many things to too many people.
Yeah. So Ric Flair, we had Ric Flair on the Wrestling Inc. The Wrestling Inc. Daily a couple weeks ago. He talked about why he doesn't keep in touch with Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard or any of the Horsemen anymore. And he talked about how they didn't reach out to him after his son Reed died. It really upset him and hasn't kept in touch. So he would never do a Horseman reunion. So you can count Flair out. So after
said Arn Anderson didn't reach out to him?
Yeah.
Wasn't Arn working for WWE? I mean, I'd have to imagine.
Yeah.
He'd have to see him in the hallway eventually.
I don't think he was. Wasn't he in TNA when that happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he Reed was. Reed was about to start up with us, actually.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah.
That sucks. That sucks.
You hate hearing stuff like that.
Me too.
After the match, the masked man was revealed to be Sean Spears, who now has blonde hair. He hasn't been on TV since December. He hugged the group, and Arn Anderson came out from the entrance tunnel and flashed a Four Horsemen sign.
Awesome. Awesome all the way around. Sean Spears is a freaking awesome fit for this, by the way.
Mm-hmm. He is, and I mean, it's one of these fool me one things with Sean Spears. I hope he's back to stay, but this guy's becoming the master of the big time comeback, because like he comes and he hits Cody and then he goes away for a while. He had that news thing going, he goes away, he comes back with a glove gimmick and then he goes away. Now he's back with blonde hair. At some point he's going to have to stay around, and it's on them too to make sure that they continue to follow up on Sean Spears, yes. Because I'm tired of all these promising comebacks leading to nothing.
He can't write his own stuff, Alfred. He can't take the pen out of the Young Bucks' hands and say, hey, write this in. You know, it's on them. That's their fault for terrible storytelling. And they should have gotten so much more mileage out of what he did to Cody. He has one of the dopest music entrances, I think, in wrestling. Oh, yeah. I love that song. I loved his chairman thing for a while at the beginning of it that he was doing. The pairing with Tully, it was perfect. The glove stuff was a little corny for what it's worth, but they didn't follow up on it. He was on Dark, and then he disappeared, and then that's their fault, not his.
That's my frustration. I've liked everything they've had for Sean Spears when it comes to, every time he comes back, it's like, okay, this could work, and then you never get to see it through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've and that's the problem when you have so many guys under contract and, you know, so only so much TV time. Like, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian that one week, it's been probably like a month and a half where they said if they lose again, they're going to split up. And I don't think they've wrestled on TV since then, at least on Dynamite. Lost. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they're just loaded. Scorpio Sky, you know, he was on commentary tonight, but they just have a ton of talent. So up next, we had Paul White come out. He had a No More BS t-shirt on, which obviously stands for No More Big Show. Which is cute, I guess. So he talked about the new AEW show, AEW Dark Elevation, which is going to be Mondays at 7 p.m. on AEW's YouTube starting March 15th. And then he said he has a big scoop. And he says it's huge. And he said this Sunday at Revolution, a major Hall of Fame worthy talent has been signed. And it's not who you think.
Well, I don't know who the hell he thought I thought to begin with.
Yeah, how does he know how I'm thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, who could it be? You know, if it's Hall of Fame worthy, that eliminates Hall of Famers. And then that, you know, eliminates people that are newer. Like, I know some people saying Zelina Vega. I think calling her Hall of Fame worthy at this point would be
I love her to pieces, but come on.
She's very talented, but come on.
Same thing as Tessa Blanchard. I'm a big, huge fan, but she's not there yet.
No. Why are you naming women? What about men? Is there any men wrestlers?
So Christian was one mentioned, but it's not Christian. Like I mentioned, he is under contract. You know, you get the usual Brock Lesnar, CM Punk. I don't see that. But
Ryback?
Is that Hall of Fame? Okay, he said Hall of Fame worthy. He didn't say wrestling Hall of Fame worthy. Do you think it's like a Charles Barkley, somebody from the outside world? What if it's like a NBA Hall of Famer? I'm just thinking outside the box here. If it's not who we think it is.
Yeah.
Or it's Shaq came out of the ambulance and signed a contract. Yeah. But he's a Hall of Famer. They're actually Hall of Famers.
They are legit. You're right. Yeah.
Well, hang on. I want to think about this.
Carlito, I don't think so. Carlito did not end up signing with WWE.
But no.
Because it has to be big enough to...
It could be Carlito then, right?
I don't think Carlito's big enough.
Yeah, I don't think you say Hall of Fame worthy if it's Carlito, with all due respect to him.
You can get away with saying Hall of Fame worthy and just saying that's my opinion.
Yeah, but then you're kind of trolling in terms of like credibility with the audience.
It's Big Show. No offense.
Tony Khan did tease that one episode of Dynamite, a huge surprise or something, you know, and it ended up being Pac, and then, you know... Later, he said he just meant in general, you know, the wrestling world is changing. But I don't know. Ryback's an interesting one. We haven't been able to do the show in a few weeks. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
I don't know who else. Jax Callen saying, who do you think? I think he meant Lesnar or Punk.
Yeah, the thing about CM Punk only would make, because I think whoever they introduce is going to be a member of that announce team. And I could see CM Punk doing something like that, signing on to be an announcer.
But they didn't. Why does it have to be part of their announce team?
It doesn't have to be, but I could see that being like whoever they get might be somebody that they see as another member. That might be the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, he just signed with AEW, or she, the third member of our booth, and it's the person.
That would be overkill having two wrestlers in that announcement.
What about what's her name? John Moxley's wife. Is she still with WWE?
No, she's not. Renee Young. What about her?
She can't be an announcer?
I mean, if they're hyping an announcer, I think that would be pretty weak.
No, yeah, okay. She's pretty far along.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know who this is.
This is intriguing.
Yeah, bothers me. They've done a good job then.
Yeah. And at first I was thinking like Trish Stratus, Lita, but they're all in the Hall of Fame.
What does that say though? Really quick, can we just touch on this? What does that say that Big Show was supposed to be this huge deal, and he comes here bearing a big surprise? It already tells you he's not going to do much for this show. No offense.
Well, unless what she says comes true.
Right. Kronoshaw saying the surprise Sunday is Paul White himself. Well, King Rail, the $10 super chat, saying if Christian signed, do you see Christian costing Edge at Mania to start a feud, or them going on a tag team run after Mania? Last question, if tag team, what brand? And thank you for your time. Big fan.
All right, real quick. Doesn't matter what brand. The tag team division is dead in WWE. Let's just be honest. But I can see that. Yeah. I can see two best friends wanting to finish their career together. Absolutely. Doing something together somewhere down the road. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if the plan is to have Edge versus Christian, I really hope they at least have a run with Edge and Christian first, because I want to see Edge and Christian versus the Usos. I want to see Edge and Christian versus the New Day. Like, there are a couple marquee matches they could make before splitting those two guys up with some kind of feud.
And I'm not saying they have to wrestle against each other. They will do something together is what I'm saying. One way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put a couple more of these. James Pott saying, hey! Pat McAfee. So I don't know if you saw this earlier, Matt, but during Cody's media call, he said Pat McAfee had kind of made a joke about Shaq wrestling. Just basically said that it won't be as good as his match. And it wasn't. Pat McAfee's was a singles. I mean, his was amazing.
Really?
Not taking anything away from the Shaq match. That was really good, too. But Cody on the media call today said Pat McAfee calls AEW every other day trying to get a job. So I think he might have been kidding. I don't know. He never said he was kidding. He said it. If he was, he was being super dry.
I don't believe that. I mean, maybe he called him a couple times or whatever just to see what's out there. But settle down, Cody. Pat McAfee is a big deal. He's a big star, you know. Shouldn't try to chump him like that, but whatever.
Yeah, McAfee did issue a video later saying he denied it, but he didn't say he's never contacted AEW, but he did
I'm
deny
sure
it.
He has. You have to time. Call the competition. There's only one other place to go for competition as far as money goes. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? That's like the Bronx. Like, if there's two NFL teams, right? And, like, it's the Giants and Cowboys. You get cut from the Giants, or you quit the Giants, or the Giants don't want to start you. Whatever the situation is, of course you're calling the Cowboys. You say, hey, I want to go play here. Like, would the Cowboys make a press release and say, hey, guess who's – you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that it's out there is good news for Pat McAfee, because it just kind of ups his buying power that he might go to the other side, especially if you watch tonight. Brandon Walker was one of the guys from Barstool who asked a question on this show. It wasn't even 2 weeks ago. He was on NXT television. So, like, that going back and forth, I'm not sure is something WWE wants to make a habit out of.
Yeah. A couple others. This one's interesting. Trevor Snuck saying RVD.
That's a good call. Okay, yeah. That's not a really good call so far. That's the best one so far.
Same thing. JJ Smith, $5 super chat. Rob Van Dam. Chris Pantaleo with the $1.99 super chat saying maybe Mauro Ranallo for a 3-man group. I just don't think it's an announcer.
No.
Same thing. A lot of RVDs out there. Justin Lopez, RVD. He's not in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, and they said Hall of Fame worthy, not in the Hall of Fame. And he's not under contract with Impact, so.
I don't think that's a letdown.
Me neither. I think that'd be a really good one.
Yeah, me too.
couple others saying Okada's under contract with New Japan. Ooh. And we'll just leave it at that. Cena, no way. All right. So up next we had Nyla Rose versus Ryu Mizunami for the AEW Women's World Championship Eliminator Tournament Finals. And I was kind of surprised at this one. Ryu Mizunami getting the win by pinfall, and she will face Hikaru Shida at Revolution. After the match, Shida handed Mizunami the trophy, then offered her hand to shake. Ryu hit her with a forearm shot. They fought for a bit, and they smiled, and Shida held up the title. So that's your match, Ryu Mizunami versus Hikaru Shida at Revolution. And I guess they have done Shida versus Nyla Rose a lot. So
they have. They have, but I still think they dropped the ball with her immensely. Mm-hmm. With Nyla Rose, she should still be the champion in that damn division, just undefeated. You know, it makes such a fate. It'd be such a completely different division if she was still champion and undefeated right now. But we know Kenny Omega likes his Joshi wrestling.
Yeah,
they even ignored largely the return of Vicky Guerrero, which I thought, like, now that Vicky's back, Nyla can go in that tournament. They could heat her right back up, and I was shocked. Right? Legitimately shocked when they counted three for Nyla. It seemed like a mistake, but it wasn't. I will say I loved Ryo Mizunami. I thought she was like a breath of fresh air to watch in the ring. She was very playful and maybe more so than I'd like in a match with Nyla Rose, but I really did like her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be honest, she did nothing for me.
David Draper with the $5 super chat saying, all the guys jumping from WWE to AEW, do you guys ever see it going the other way? AEW guys jumping to WWE. Monday Night War vibes, LOL, for sure. I mean, these guys sign multi-year contracts. So in a couple of years, when those contracts are coming up, for absolutely. Sure.
Yep.
And if you look at what AEW is spending on all these big stars right now, from a financial standpoint, they're not going to be able to hold on to everybody. And from just a talent morale standpoint, people are going to start getting pissed that they're not getting their shot because Sting has to do another Stinger Splash.
Yeah, you know, they're in a honeymoon phase still. At some point, you're going to have talent disgruntled, you know, over not being featured, and it just happens. That's wrestling, and you only have so much TV time. Up next, we had Sting for an interview with Tony Schiavone, plugging a Sunday street fight. This was the most active Sting has been. Ricky Starks came in, said Sting needs to pump his brakes, said he doesn't respect him, and then slapped him. Sting hit him with a big clothesline, hit the Stinger Splash in the corner, and then applied the Scorpion Deathlock. He kind of was losing grip of it, kind of lost it, but Will Hobbs and Hook entered the ring. Sting fought him off. Brian Cage came in from behind, swung away at Sting. He was going for another power bomb. Darby Allin's music hit. He locked in a choke on Cage. And while Brian was trying to fight Darby Allin off the corner, Sting hit him with a Stinger Splash to the back. And then Allin hit his shotgun drop kick off the top rope, and then Team Taz bailed to the back. Now, you think this is WWE booking, where since they got the better of it, Sting and Darby Allin got the better of it, that Team Taz wins?
No.
Yeah, no. You can't beat Sting in his day first match.
Right, you can't. And I'll be honest, like, this didn't do much. I've seen so much of this already.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? I was hoping if there was something to cool off here going into the pay-per-view for in favor of Omega and finding room for Omega and, let's say, John Moxley on television this week, this would have been it for me.
Mm-hmm. This feels like this match should have happened like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they've just been like trying to find a way to do something because their pay-per-view is still coming up. But, you know, we've been in a couple of Hotel California type phases where they're just doing the same thing every week. And this week's segment felt like last week's segment, even though there was a lot of action. I'm just ready to see this match already so they can just move past it.
Because usually you do this kind of stuff for 4 weeks and then get to the match. It's been like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
So, but Sting looked good. Jax Callen saying, some sites say RVD. He's in talks with WWE to do a documentary and a book, so I don't know how credible those sources are.
So I'll see.
They are going to have that Icon series. He's going to be one of the people featured on WWE Icon. So that would be a little awkward if he signed with AEW and, you know, that aired.
Right, yeah, totally. Demon Diva saying, you can totally beat Sting on his debut, ask WWE. That is true. 10 versus Max Caster. We talked about this a little bit earlier for a qualifier for the Face of the Ladder match this Sunday. Little Brody was in 10's corner. I was kind of surprised with this one too. So Caster did a rap coming to the ring, made reference to Lady Gaga's dog walker being
fire.
Shot. Fire, but the guy's still in critical condition.
Oh, well. Yeah, hip-hop, there's no rules in hip-hop.
but Caster's got, he's got it. He's got a superstar potential. Yep. And then at the end, I mentioned, yeah, Jack Evans came out from under the ring, hit 10 with Caster's boombox, and Caster went, you know, Caster got the pin. So he won by a pinfall to advance to the match.
Why did Jack Evans do this, though? I didn't understand that.
I didn't get that either. That's where I was saying I would have thought it would have been Bowens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a very weird finish that they kind of rushed off of this.
Yeah.
But serves its purpose again, right?
Yeah. Okay. So they did, after the match, Matt Hardy came and paid Evans $4,200.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's like so much happened on this show, I'm forgetting. Then Miro cut a promo looking like the Miro of old, saying, because Chuck Taylor didn't return, he's going to give people what they want. Destruction. People have been asking for it, and it's going to happen. Game over. So, look cool. Look like the old Killer Miro.
He better deliver now. He has to deliver.
Love this promo. This is what we need.
Yeah. Dustin Lopez. Great week for Lashley and his sister, Caster. His sister.
I don't get it.
One of Lashley's sisters? Oh, Max Caster played one of Lashley's sisters. I think that's what...
Did he?
Was a reference. Based on that comment, I think that's what he meant.
Yeah.
One of them was pretty yoked. I remember seeing one of them. Yeah. So that might have been Max Caster.
Yeah. So finally, main event, Hangman Page and John Silver versus Matt Hardy and Mark Quinn. The finish of the match, Page getting distracted by Hardy, and Quinn got pinned. So, Page getting the pin over Mark Quinn to win the match.
I don't know if this should have been the main event, like you said, going into the pay-per-view, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel if I crap on this, then like I'm crapping on the whole show because it's the main event of a really good show, right?
Right.
But this show was awesome, though. Tonight, this show, definitely A-plus material, but I did not think this main event should have been here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said the entire time I watched this match, I'm like, something's going to happen. This is not how they're ending it. There's no way they're going to the pay-per-view if this is the last match. There's something, an impromptu match will happen or something will happen.
Yeah.
You know, I kept thinking.
Yeah. This is more of what we also talk about every week about the show when they go live, having to rush off the air. It was another one of those nights where Jim Ross was mid-sentence when they went off the air. And you could even tell by the finishing sequence of this match and the brawl they did after, they were just trying to get as much stuff in as possible toward the end. So, yeah. Really weird way to finish the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after the match, yeah, as you mentioned, there was a brawl, and it ended with Matt Hardy getting the better of Hangman Page and just hitting him repeatedly in the head with a microphone.
But finally, again, it was Hardy and him, though.
Right. Yeah. It's an undercard match that was the go-home angle for the show. So.
Yes.
But yeah, it's weird to crap on that when it was such a great show.
It really was such a great show. Guys, if I'm scoring this from 1 to 10, I'm definitely giving this a 9, 9.5 even, maybe.
Yeah. What I love about this show is it started at a high, and I don't think it let up. It just stayed that way throughout, and I really enjoyed watching this.
Yeah. And the match was good. Let's be clear. The match was very good, the main event. Of course it was. All the performers were really good. But it's just I'm a big believer in you go home on a pay-per-view with your main angle if you could. Your main draw.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Finn Abs with $4.99 Super Chat saying, I was going to use this Super Chat to ask Issa to marry me, but since she's not on tonight, I'll ask Raj instead. AEW is awesome.
What do you say, Raj?
I'm taken, guys. Sorry.
one of these days. Right. Now Matt Morgan needs a marriage proposal. I will officiate this wedding for free, by the way, if either of them say yes.
What a guy. Thank you.
All right. So, Alfred, why don't we talk about this first before we get to NXT? The rumors that NXT will be moving to Tuesday nights starting April 12th, I believe. It's the week after WrestleMania.
Definitely. This will definitely happen. This has been talked about so long now. And where there's smoke, there's fire. Sometimes in wrestling, where there's smoke, there isn't fire, right? It's just websites trying to get y'all to click on their stuff. But this is no, I think this is real. I think this will definitely happen. It's very smart. All across the board, this is a smart move.
It's just it's weird to me that when Raw was getting slaughtered by Nitro, they never even considered, or you know, they were never serious consideration going to another night. And it was way more important to their business for Raw to do well, and they still didn't do it. But they're doing it for NXT when it doesn't really, the ratings don't really matter as much for NXT.
Right, but
it's a USA Network thing.
That's the thing. They're not necessarily doing this on their own accord. They would keep NXT on forever if they could. But NBC Sports shut down. And when that happened, there was speculation that this is what was going to have to happen because they need somewhere to put hockey. So this wasn't, you know, it's going to be painted kind of as like WWE running and tucking their tails. They were kind of forced out of USA Network more than they left USA Network. I mean, you know, the Wednesday nights, but I really do think this is going to be good for WWE in terms of growing that product. I think they have more potential to grow with NXT on its own night than even AEW does.
Right.
Just because of the resources they have behind them to promote this.
Yeah, for sure. And a little correction. It's April 13th would be the first day. But the weird thing is this would be the first time that WWE is, it's like, there's no way other way to frame it than that they lost and they had to change nights. They got their asses kicked.
If I'm AEW, I'm jumping all over this and saying that, obviously, in the first episode it happens.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some cheap shots there. I mean, Cody, again, you could read the article at Wrestling Inc., but Cody took some shots at it. He used Triple H's marathon, not a sprint, words back at him. So
I don't want AEW to get too cocky now. Don't, you know, listen, they're in the winning ways right now, but this is pride cometh before the fall. And if you remember how cocky WCW was before beating WWE, like a lot of beats of this war are reminding me of that.
Yeah, like if they say, well, SmackDown's moving to Tuesday. I mean, NXT's moving to Tuesday because SmackDown's moving to Wednesdays. Then that, yeah. You know, that's something you don't want.
Yeah.
King Rail with the $10 super chat. Thank you. Saying if WWE decides to go Bobby Brock at Mania or down the road, how can WWE get Paul back with Brock? MVP and Paul promos could be epic. Only asking because how well Roman looks with Paul. I mean, they could just have Brock on Raw and Roman on SmackDown, and they never really intersect until you need to
very
tap.
Very easy to do, very easy to write for. Paul Heyman's always going to be associated with Brock Lesnar in real life and in storyline mode. It works. I would love that setup, though. Wouldn't you guys, MVP promos versus Heyman?
Oh, yes. Hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Two beasts just standing there with their arms folded in the background, beaming holes through each other.
Mr. Botsky is a two-time
saying,
Hall of Fame worthy, Matt Morgan to AEW.
Matt, you got a scoop for us?
All a shame. But thank you very much, Mr. Botsky. Very nice of you.
And JJ Smith saying, Angle, Kurt Angle, he's part of Conrad's pods. And he's a free agent, but he's a Hall of Famer already. Again, they said Hall of Fame worthy, he's already in. Unless, I'm sure he's also in the Observer Hall of Fame. And finally, Nathaniel Cook, before we get to NXT with the $2.99 super chat, thank you. Thanks, appreciated.
Nathaniel. Thank you, Nathaniel.
All right, Alfred.
Okay, so we go to WWE NXT. It opens with Ciampa and Thatcher versus Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch. This is supposed to be MSK, but MSK's hurt. We saw an inset promo where backstage Ciampa and Thatcher are saying that the champions don't have any bollocks. This is actually a pretty good match, very athletic. The guys worked hard. They did this spot where they all fell down after a series of strikes. Imperium appears at the top of the stage, which distracts Tommaso Ciampa, who gets pulled down. And then after taking out Ciampa, Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch hit their double team suplex DDT finisher on Thatcher for the win. What did you guys think about this?
I'm just going to say, if you could have, you could not have possibly chosen three out of four guys on this roster that I could be more bored with than three of these four tag team wrestlers tonight. And to make it better, They brought Imperium out, Imperial, whatever the hell their name is, out there, who I'm also incredibly bored with. They're as vanilla can get, except when what's his name? Their leader.
Walter.
Except when Walter's in it. That's it. Other than that, they're vanilla as hell too to me. This was a lot of vanilla for me. I'm just being honest.
I agree. I think Thatcher brings Ciampa down. He just makes him seem boring. I'm with you, Matt. I did not care who won this match. I could care less.
God, no.
Yeah.
These guys were, no offense to them, but like enhancement talents when I was wrestling. Everybody at some point has been that, by the way, to be clear. But they don't physically look any different.
I couldn't think of a worse match to go against Shaq.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
For action wise, it was really good. If that's all you care about, it was really strong, strong action wise. But if you're trying to put something against Shaq's debut on national TV,
bunch of boring looking dudes wearing wrestling trunks, like this could not. I don't know. This just screamed vanilla to me. So I kept thinking vanilla. Oh wait, there's an interruption. Oh yeah, more vanilla.
It's very weird, the dynamic that was set during these first two segments, because it was like WWE versus NWA, but NXT was in the role of NWA. Like, this was the grappling kind of classic, you know, your grandfather's wrestling compared to the sports entertainment that was going on the other channel with the celebrity in the ring and this ripped woman and just the spectacle. So they WWE got out WWE'd in the segment.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that AEW does that almost every week with NXT.
Yes, they do. They create a spectacle more than WWE does. Yes, they do.
Yeah, it looks lively. It's colorful. They got the better promos with, you know, you got Jericho and MJF and the entertainment. Yep. And
So that's that segment. And then we get into the next segment. It is Roderick Strong coming out to address Adam Cole. He's pissed off. He wants Adam Cole to come out, but instead he gets Finn. Finn says that Adam's not coming for you, and he challenges Adam Cole for the NXT title next week. That's how you get Adam Cole to come out. And then he said that Roderick Strong will always be a follower. This leads to a brawl and a pull apart between Roderick Strong and Finn Balor.
This is okay. And to be fair, I've got to go back and watch it, if I'm being honest. But this was good. This was obviously much better than the last segment. But then again, this podcast, I can't even think of something. Just the worst segment possible was better than the first segment. So, low bar.
There is just something with me with Finn Balor in this NXT run that just hasn't been exciting.
No, of course not. No.
And he was the first NXT run he had was great, you know, and he would do the demon thing a lot. And, but just this run, I just do not care. They've just turned him into another guy, a great working guy, but another guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I like how serious he was just compared to what he was on the main roster, and the fact that they do seem to take time with this character. But the demon is just the best version of Finn Balor, and I just cannot get excited about Finn Balor in general, knowing his potential as the demon. I just always see what could have been.
That's the problem. You cannot put that genie back in the bottle. Mentally, you can't.
So we head to the Central Florida Psychiatric Center, ladies and gentlemen. This is our first of many therapy sessions with The Way. We are greeted by Dr. Linda Nicolai. So it's not Dr. Shelby. It's this kind of middle-aged woman who is counseling Austin Theory. Theory says, this doesn't look like Chuck E. Cheese. And then there's a lot of references by Indy about how much she likes Dexter Lumis. She says that with the right guy, could be great to be locked in a room for 3 days. And she's doodling something that says Mrs. Indy Wrestling Lumis, which Johnny finds. He freaks out so much that he gets kicked out of the room. And that's the first segment. Johnny Gargano gets kicked out by Dr. Nicolai in the therapy session, leaving just three members of The Way. What did you guys think about this?
I was okay with this. I got to go back and watch it, to be fair, and give it my full attention this time. But again, I'm in favor of any outside the box type of thinking and promos and segments. And that's what this was. So I thought this was good.
Yeah, look, I always am a fan when they try to bring in some entertainment. These segments didn't really do it for me, but I like that they're trying.
Yeah, they were like off-location, cinematic type segments.
Right. So one more thing I want to add to this, they've got to be careful. I know the goal is to give Austin and then Indy Hartwell the rub here. I get that. But they got to be careful. They still need to be the sizzle to Johnny's steak. Mm-hmm. Johnny still needs to be the nuts and bolts, the meat and potatoes of all their segments still, in my opinion, with them sprinkled in. My only problem with this is a little too much Indy Hartwell when we're not emotionally invested in her fully just yet. We're getting there. We're digging her. It's like we're digging Theory. I'm really digging Theory. But we're getting there. We're getting there where they get to carry the bigger part of the segment. And until then, it still needs to be Johnny carrying the ball a little bit more.
Yeah. Nathaniel Cook with the $2.99 Super Chat saying, Johnny G and Austin Theory, NXT Tag Team Champions. The way. I'm not opposed to that.
That's not bad. Yeah. What's wrong with that? Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, actually.
If there's a title, they really need a spark. Yeah. They need to get that North American title off Johnny Gargano. I think I'd rather see him in the NXT tag division because they were referencing how loaded the NXT North American division is, and they're right. But if that guy's your champion doing all this comedy with The Way, maybe they should be tag team champions.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Do we have Cameron Grimes backstage with William Regal. He's just showing all the money that he has. He says he's got Kiss My Grits money, and he's trying to pay Regal off, but Regal says that he's going to be facing Bronson Reed tonight.
He's trying to pay off Regal. That's funny. That's so funny. Sorry.
What do you guys think with the Cameron Grimes stuff? It's grown on me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've loved this from the beginning.
It's Alfred's favorite thing in wrestling.
No, I think he's great. Like I didn't like him when they did the whole Halloween Havoc stuff with that whole horror movie stuff.
It was silly, but this is hitting right now. Yeah.
I really like this gimmick. I feel like he's the most entertaining thing on the show.
Yes.
Different than Karrion Kross. I really like Karrion Kross as well, but
yes,
most entertaining. JJ Smith saying, Matt, sorry for going off topic, but I was there live for your in-ring TNA debut in Lowell at Lockdown 08. Marked hard when you joined Team Cage.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for saying that. That place was packed, right? JJ Smith, wasn't that place like full? Like it was pretty cool.
Man, you look at some of those old TNA shows that they had. I remember when TNA first went to Spike and they did a live show from Vegas and Monty Brown, and there were just some of these acts that were just really hot. Yep. It's just too bad. Yammy Yam saying, just wanted to thank Raj and Glenn for the info on Keeps via Twitter DM. Alfred, what up, my brother? Good to see you. What up, Matt? Keep it up, fellas. Well,
What's up, Yammy?
What's going on, Yammy? Thank you.
Our next match is Ember Moon versus Aaliyah.
Real quick, I do got to say this because Trevor Snook did this message saying Cameron Grimes going broke soon. I think he should keep this gimmick up on the main roster.
Yeah.
Like he should not go broke. Like traditionally that would be the story, but I don't think he should.
No, I agree. I want this to go for a while, but they are kind of teasing that that's where it's going because he just keeps spending all this money. You always see the visual of him losing the money.
Right.
So.
And then finally, JJ Smith noting that there were about 8,000 people in attendance that night. Whew! In Lowell. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it was packed. It was all the way up to the top too. My family was there that lives in Boston.
Nice.
So Ember Moon versus Lee was a fine match. The finish came when Robert Stone gets on the apron. Shotzi Blackheart comes in and she takes out Jessica Mae and Robert Stone with the double clothesline, which leads to Ember Moon hitting the total eclipse on Aaliyah for the win.
This was good from what I was able to watch, right? This seemed really good. Again, I can't wait to go back and watch it. This was something I was looking forward to.
Yeah, I agree. I think Aaliyah's getting much better. She's improving.
That's my takeaway from this too.
Yeah.
We go backstage with Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. Thatcher is explaining his history with Imperium, but he gets cut off by Ciampa, who says that Imperium is just that, the past.
The hell was that?
Did you guys like the segment?
I mean, without Walter there, they kind of are, right?
Yeah.
They're just kind of nameless guys without Walter.
They're jobbers without him. No offense.
Yeah, it's just you're kind of waiting for Walter to come back because it's just not enough with these three guys.
Yeah, no, for sure. Stephen Marchiciulli saying, what's the bigger money match? The Fiend versus the Demon or Brock versus Karrion Kross? Does Kross selling hurt his gimmick?
Yes, I don't like him selling at all. Not because he can't do it, but just because I think he should still be indestructible at this point.
Yeah, when he has to. Like, I thought the way he did it with Keith Lee, that was perfect, you know, last summer. But bigger money match, Brock versus Cross, you know, anything with Brock usually.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So we get a UFC-style video package between Toni Storm and Io Shirai. It's just they're going back and forth with these interviews while showing highlights. The thread here is basically Toni saying that Io Shirai can't beat her, and then Io Shirai saying she's not scared. She needs to beat Toni Storm to cement her legacy. I really like this.
Yeah, me too. This is good storytelling. Very good storytelling, actually.
I always like when they do these more UFC-style fight type of hype videos and packages, and even the interviews like they did with Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor.
When you treat pro wrestling like a sport, there's not much things that are more entertaining for me to watch. And I think that's like that for most wrestling fans. The UFC stole our frigging formula and do it better than us now.
Yeah.
I don't know why we allowed it to happen. We watch it happen. We watch it happen. And we don't try to take it back. I don't get I don't understand it.
And Matt, to your point, because it's not just good sportsman sports, but also like talking trash. And UFC, the guys who are talking trash at the higher level are far and beyond pro wrestling, like Conor McGregor, obviously.
Yes.
So we get the announcement that they're going to actually have this match next week, Toni Storm versus Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship. So they're really loading up that show for next week.
I hope Toni Storm wins.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah. I think it's time for Io Shirai to go to the main roster.
Yeah.
It's been, yeah.
Real quick, Jack Callen saying, my Facebook advertised WWE Live and won in Australia this year. Takeaway on that. I mean, I think that flyer is old because it had Kairi Sane on it. It had Becky Lynch. So I just think it's an old flyer that they had originally set the date for, you know, this year, and they just haven't updated it. But, you know, Australia, they're really strict with, you know, letting people in the country.
Yeah.
Bear Hudson with the $5 super chat saying Santos Escobar is a star in the making. The expensive suits, not being afraid of carrying Cross. A lot of similarities between Alberto Del Rio.
Love what they did with him tonight.
Yeah.
There are. I think Santos has a bigger ceiling, as crazy as that may sound to some. I think his ceiling is bigger than Del Rio's, actually. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I think that might hurt him is his size on the main roster. We see that time and time again.
You don't think his character is so big. He plays big. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah. I don't look at him as a little guy.
I know what you mean.
I should, because he physically is, Raj. You're right.
Yeah. Because like Angel, I just think of Angel Garza, right? Like he had that really great swagger and, you know, the cockiness, and they're doing nothing with him.
Right? That's not his fault. It's their fault.
Yeah.
He did not come across as small when he was doing that. Like he didn't feel like a tiny wrestler. He didn't feel undersized to me when he was doing that. If you can have such an entertaining act that all you're thinking about is that character's character and persona and the storyline, you're not really dialed into how small they are. That's just what I worry about with what's his name? The head of, the leader of what do you call it? God dang it, guys. I'm getting old.
Imperium?
Come on.
Walter?
No, they weren't on.
Adam Cole,
baby. Yeah, so Adam Cole is an example of this. We're worried about him being undersized and how they'll use him. And we think that he'll be okay because he's so talented. But I will argue, and you're going to think I'm nuts for this, I think Santos Escobar does a better job of hiding his size because of his persona, his character, his charisma. It plays big. Whereas, you know, his is not so much. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm making that, if I'm pontificating that properly, but I don't know. I just think this dude is a huge star. I don't think the size will hold him back. WWE will hold him back if he goes to the main roster. And like you said, Raj, they screw him over and don't do right by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never really even thought about his size until this very moment. And I mean, Eddie Guerrero is a pretty short guy too. And I mean, you just, as long as WWE is able to accentuate people's strengths, it's really not going to matter about his size.
But they have a hard time doing that with
they really do.
I did notice Eddie Guerrero's size when he was in the ring with Rock. I did notice it then. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until years later, as good as Eddie always was, is that I stopped looking at him as a cruiserweight. Honestly.
Right.
His character got so big and just so freaking great, and you didn't give a crap. You weren't noticing these things anymore.
Right. Nathaniel Cook with the $4.99 Super Chat saying, big fan of you guys. Future booking idea. Montez Ford wins the Royal Rumble and chooses to face Roman Reigns at next year's WrestleMania. Big money match.
So, Nathaniel, I'm right there with you as far as being a humongous Montez Ford mark. He screams singles superstar. Super duper duper star, for that matter. Huge. I believe that. I think a lot of people do. I don't know if that's all going to happen, what you said there, but there is no reason, though, guys. If you're looking straight up on talent, charisma, the whole package, he's got it. He's got it in spades.
Yeah, so I can absolutely hope.
Raj, I said this the other night on the show. I can't wait to see him super kick his partner through the barbershop window already. And just, you know, sorry, Dawkins, but like, you know, later.
Yeah, no, Montez Ford is money.
Dawkins, sorry.
So we've got Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. They're basically working over Dakota Kai until she hot tags to Raquel Gonzalez, who just goes wild. Gets out of a rear naked from Shayna Baszler. The finish comes, and it's very weird. Raquel Gonzalez tags herself back in. She tackles Nia Jax over the table, but then there's a rear naked by Shayna Baszler to Dakota Kai, who's the illegal woman. Adam Pearce, of all people, comes out, and he sends a referee out to call the bell, which they do. Baszler and Jax win. The NXT announcers are incensed because they're making it known that Dakota Kai was not the legal woman, so they're saying Adam Pearce is up to something. What did you guys think about this match and these developments?
Great attention to detail. I love the fact they're calling out for being the illegal person. That's exactly what we all were thinking. I like that. I like that dose of realism.
Do you think this might lead to like a three-way at WrestleMania where they do Nia and Shayna versus a team from Raw, a team from SmackDown, and then also, so I guess it would be a four-way, and then also Raquel and Dakota again, since they have a gripe on they didn't actually lose, I guess.
What I think – no, go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, you don't think I'm nuts. That'd be great, but I'm sorry. Raquel Gonzalez is a singles star. So I would rather wait, let Mania come and go, bring her up the day after Mania.
So later on in the night, there was a segment with William Regal, and he said there's going to be a landscape shifting announcement made next week. And what I think that's going to be is the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. So I think Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai are going to maybe have those titles. But I mean, if you're saying it's a landscape shifting decision, maybe the story is that they don't want Raw coming in and making the decisions about their matches. So they need NXT titles so that all the NXT is under their jurisdiction. I think that's why they had Adam Pearce come out, because then they showed Adam Pearce arguing with William Regal later on the night.
Okay. I don't hate that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if that's landscaping, but...
Yeah,
we'll see.
So we get another therapy segment. I believe, no, this is not the last one. This is the second to last one. Indy is continuing to make remarks about how much she likes Dexter. She wants to be friends with benefits with Dexter. She likes when he gets weird. Johnny is texting Candice LeRae from the outside. So she's just repeating a bunch of things that he's texting her. And Dr. Nikolai lets him in after she realizes this. He asks if anybody ordered Uber Eats. She kicks everybody out now instead of Austin, except Austin Theory. And she sits down with Austin Theory and she says, so what exactly were you doing those 3 days with Dexter Lumis? And then we get a to be continued.
That was a good cliffhanger at the end, I thought. This was good. This was better than the first one.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it again. I actually missed this one, so I'll have to watch it
again. So, yeah, this one was, you didn't really miss much with this one. It really set up to what happens next.
Right.
But then we get into Swerve Scott backstage. They do this heel promo with him. He's in the studio and he's talking about Leon Ruff. He says this dude seems to luck up and win these North American title matches when Swerve just has to grind. He says he's dangerous and savage. And he says Swerve is just different and I don't care anymore.
I liked his verbiage. I liked the words he was using. I know that sounds kind of like a marquee thing to say, but just, I don't know how he talks. He just seems cooler than everyone else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I didn't care for the promo itself, but I thought he looked the part. Like, he looked like a star there. So I thought it was pretty cool. I think if he just works on his promos more, he could get there.
See, yeah. I didn't think it was a world beater promo, but I did like this promo.
Yeah.
It wasn't fantastic, but it was good.
Yeah. Bear Hudson with the $5 super chat saying, did anyone watch the Big Eve 24 doc on the network? And is that a sign of a slow build towards a match with Roman Reigns at SummerSlam? Great story. Matt?
No, hang on. I did see it. It was really good. Well done. Shoot all. They tell the story. What the hell? I'm so sorry. I thought my camera was on. I apologize, guys. This was a really good show on the network, and they showed him like doing all these power lifting, his relationship with Cena, if he was able to bench 500 plus pounds, he was going to get him on this documentary at the time when he was still in NXT. What a big deal that was to Big E at the time. But like, it talked about his football dreams. I mean, this dude went from like amateur wrestling to freaking getting a scholarship to go to Iowa Hawkeyes to play football. Like, I didn't know that about him. That is major, 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 like NFL level football, folks. Like, to be able to go to, you know, that school and play. Anyways, it was a great story. His real life story was awesome. And here's the thing, Raj, you've seen this, and I'm sure you have too, Alfred. They do these, like no offense, Liv Morgan had one, and it went nowhere.
Right.
So, like, I hope that's not the case here. I still think they're behind the curve when it comes to Big E. He should be well past the intercontinental level at this point in the game. Like, do you remember like when Kofi got to like the world championship material feel? Like everyone was trying to see this big match where he becomes the champion eventually. Right. Like, it just went from the New Day to him being the singles act fighting for the world championship. Like, if there was anybody in that group that deserves or that is believable of just skipping to the head of the line outside, leaving the three-man group like that, it's Big E. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to climb. He doesn't have to steadily climb. We've seen enough from him. We know everything there is to know about him. We don't need any more emotional investment. We're there. We're all there for him already. We're there. We love him. We want to see him do it already. So anything less than him wrestling for the title, I get very frustrated with.
Yeah. I remember we had fantasy book on a weekly basis on Big E turning on Kofi. And
oh my God, you remember that? Yes. All the time we were calling it. Like, this should happen here, right? Yeah. Yes.
This really was a great documentary. Really a good showcase of Big E as just a superstar. I like the idea that he's really an introverted guy. He's shy in real life, but they just say when they turn those lights on, you just see him just come out of his shell. And that's why he's so good at what he does, because he just pours his heart into it.
Yeah.
And I like how he uses his celebrity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a lot of great stuff going on right now.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, Our Heroes Rock, that project's really cool.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So original, too. And I was a huge – I think we all were as kids. I didn't think they, though. In my head, I'm like, you guys are too young for this shit. You don't really remember Schoolhouse Rock. You're way too young.
No, that was my childhood. Schoolhouse Rock is dope. So we get into LA Knight. He comes out and delivers a promo. He's got some new entrance theme and everything. He said he's waited a long time to say, let me talk to you. His famous words, he said, Tom Brady wishes he was half the man of L.A. Knight. He talks about fancy flips and dives. He says L.A. Knight will beat the hell out of all of them, namely guys like Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa. And then he says, don't call me the GOAT, just call me L.A. Knight. That's his facts of life catchphrase. And then he kind of hangs around as Bronson Reed comes out to face Cameron Grimes. But what did you guys think about the L.A. Knight promo?
Are you kidding me? Like, this dude is such a rock star, it's not even funny. He is such a frigging stud, like ready to go. You could put him, I know you think it's hyperbole, but it's not. I think you could steal a main event with him on Raw SmackDown tomorrow.
Yeah. You just have him cut a promo at the opening of the show. He'll sell you.
Yes, he will.
He's awesome. I don't like the name LA Knight still. It still sounds like a college, you know, like an XFL trademark that they weren't able to use. It just, as soon as I hear it, L.A. Knight, you know, because the L.A. part, if it was L.E. or anything else. But
he's in Los Angeles. Like, he can pull that Hollywood crap off, I think.
He can.
The name does sound like a sports team. It's very distracting of a name. Sounds like a guy's name.
It also sounds like a female porn star's name, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah. Oh, it does. You're right. Now that I think about it.
But still, he can pull this off.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, it's not gonna hurt his chances. The guy cuts world beater promos. He did it tonight. These promos are reminiscent of the stuff you'd see during the Monday Night Wars.
Absolutely.
And he's got the look. He's got it all. He needs to get out of NXT.
He's jacked. He can wrestle in the ring. Yeah. He doesn't have a weakness.
Yeah. He should be in NXT.
Playing to people's strength. His greatest strength is his talking. And I like that they're just featuring him in talking segments week after week to get you excited for his eventual first match.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Do you still call him Eli Drake, or do you call him LA Knight now?
I find it a hard time to call him LA Knight. I still call him Eli Drake, but eventually I'll...
I hated it. I told him this. I hated Eli. I go, you don't look like an Eli. Do you know what an Eli looks like? And Eli's like 7'2", skinny, fat person from like West Virginia in the middle of nowhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't look at him as an Eli. He's polished looking. He's like, he looks more of, in my opinion, in LA than he does in Eli. Eli, think of the name Eli. Yeah. Come on, be honest. Eli,
sorry to all the Elis.
My apologies.
Eli's in the chat. Show yourself.
And for the record, when they wanted to use, when they wanted to use my name, Matt Morgan, and WWE, I hated it. I was like, no, my name's the worst. No, it's so average. No. It's like, you were on Tough Enough. We can't just like pretend that didn't happen. You know what I mean? Because I thought I wanted like to be like the Masked Marauder, or like, you know, some not that that's a cool name, but some cool wrestling name, not your real name. Like, you think your real name sucks, just like you think your voice sucks. I don't know how you guys think. I hate my voice and I hate my name.
Yeah. I can't listen to the podcast that I'm on because I hate my voice.
I'm the same one. I can't stand
it. Throw me in there.
Saying Eli as an Eli man. He could have been Peyton Knight.
Oh, there you go.
I guess they already got a Peyton.
I will point out Eli was like the lesser brother.
Got two Super Bowls. He's got the same amount of Super Bowls as his brother. I'm just saying. But...
still the jabron in the family. No offense.
So we go to Bronson Reed versus Cameron Grimes. This was a pleasant surprise. Cameron Grimes tries, of course, to buy his way out of this match, but Bronson Reed doesn't take him up on that. Bronson goes for a dive to the outside, but here comes LA Knight with the interference. Grimes gets the cave in for the win, which I was very glad Cameron Grimes won this match. Pretty much his first match since coming back. So what did you guys think about this?
Good first. It's going to be a good first little, you know, quick angle. For LA Knight after this, right? That's what this was all set up for. This was good storytelling. This was perfect storytelling, quite frankly. We got to give them credit for this because you're killing two birds with one stone. You're setting LA Knight up for something that, yeah, okay, it's not like this huge main event angle. It doesn't need to be. When do you see LA Knight run through people? So line them up, starting off with this guy, right? And this sets it up for it. While at the same time, our boy Cameron Grimes gets a win.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Oh, I agree. I'd watch them beat LA Knight. they've done that kind of stuff before.
LA Knight versus Miz on the mic could be very entertaining.
And there's a difference between them, though. LA Knight's like a main event. Miz is comical.
Well, he's just saying, what about them against each other? He's not comparing them. He's saying LA Knight, what about LA Knight versus The Miz? I don't want to see them wrestle. I would like to see him being interviewed on Miz's talk show where he just completely chumps and jabrones the hell out of Miz and burns him, because I think he could and he would.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Bear Hudson with the $10 super chat saying, watching Lashley win the WWE title made along with MVP and the Hurt Business made me feel proud of the diversity so far in WWE so far. How should we book Lashley and Drew with both looking like baby faces?
I'll be honest, Bear Hudson. I'm not proud of them. I'm pissed at them for taking so freaking long to give Bobby Lashley the world championship. He's been championship material for years, plural years. And I'm happy he got it. He got it finally. You could see it meant the world to him. I congratulated him. It does mean a lot to him. But at the same time, this was years, years in the making.
17 to be exact.
Yep. It's BS because he has everything Vince McMahon. Like, again, he's a Vince McMahon wet dream come true. There's no reason he shouldn't have been the guy for many, many years ago. It makes no sense to me. It's never made sense to me, except for maybe he's too nice of a guy backstage. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that them MVP coming back at last year's Royal Rumble turned out to be such a blessing in disguise, because
right?
it did give him that extra oomph. That extra oomph. Yeah, exactly, that got him to this level. So look, I kind of, we saw the ratings this past Monday. They held up really well throughout the show, which the best it's held in a long time.
Yeah.
So if they continue, I could see them easily calling an audible and not having Drew
win. I would.
Yeah. The plan on paper seems to be Lashley goes into WrestleMania as champion and Drew beats him. Right. But the more we get closer to WrestleMania, the less I think that's a good idea. And that is a good question. Who's the babyface? Like, in WWE's universe, Lashley's going to be the heel in terms of how they're telling the story. When he shows up to Raymond James Stadium, that's going to be one of the hottest guys in the building. So they might have to call an audible.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to see.
Yeah. I hope they do, and I hope he wins. Because then that does get us to potentially, maybe, Brock.
Yeah.
We get this is where Pierce and William Regal are arguing backstage, and then Regal makes his announcement. Then we get a segment with Kaden Carter. She says that Casey Canzero has a torn ACL, so we're not going to be seeing her for a while. So she says she took my girl out, so now she's going to take out Xia Li. Before we move forward, do you guys have a guess as to what you think this landscape-changing announcement is for NXT? What do you think Regal is?
It's probably women's tag team titles. I could definitely see that. Yeah. Unless it's like they're in the match at WrestleMania. But
they do need it. They do need these women's tag team titles. It's such a stacked women's division. Mm-hmm. It gets them on. It gives them more meaning to be on the show.
Yeah.
There's so many good women wrestlers. So this gets more of them in the ring, if you will, at one time. You're going from having singles to having guaranteed four women in the ring at the same time that are really, really good. Yeah. So I hope that's what it is.
Yeah. So we get our final payoff to this therapy segment, and it's just down to Austin Theory and Dr. Nikolai. So she asked him, tell me what happened. He says he had a great time. He was in a small room. The windows boarded up. Talk about watching cartoons. He doesn't know why Dexter Lumis brought him back out of being kidnapped. And Nikolai says that she spoke with Dexter Lumis herself. Dexter said he couldn't wait to get rid of you. You're the most obnoxious person he's ever been around. Your eating habits and your fashion are atrocious. Mediocre abdominal section. So then Austin starts crying. The Garganos come back in the room and they say that Dr. Nikolai is a monster for saying that. Then it's revealed after everybody leaves that Johnny Gargano was paying Dr. Nikolai this whole time. These therapy segments were just a ruse designed to get Austin Theory to think that Dexter Lumis does not like him.
Remind me again, maybe I missed this. Could you please remind me again, why does he think he likes him to begin with?
They're telling the story with Austin Theory where he's somehow enamored with Dexter Lumis. We don't know what happened still. Even Dr. Nikolai's testimony was found to be false. So we don't know what happened. But for whatever reason, Austin Theory likes Dexter Lumis and the way he doesn't want him to like Dexter Lumis. He's North American champion, by the way.
Is this supposed to be Stockholm Syndrome or something like that? Where you fall in love with your captors. It's kind of what it seems like to me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Whatever.
Then what's Indy's deal? Why does she love Dexter so much? I don't know. They're getting off the beaten path with this Johnny Gargano thing. It's too much of a good thing at this point.
Yeah.
Yes.
JJ Smith pointing out the NXT Evolve second show is happening. That is an exclusive we had at Wrestling Inc. last December, was that they were working on an NXT for NXT, basically. So it's going to be more developmental talent.
So we were supposed to get Ever-Rise versus Breezango, but Breezango's jumped by Legado del Fantasma. Wild and Mendoza. Here comes Santos Escobar to beat up Ever-Rise. And then Santos Escobar says that last week, don't take that for weakness. You mess with us and this is what's going to happen to you.
Really good young talent here. Very, very impressive young, really good top-notch young talent. I dug this. I liked all the talents in this, actually.
I agree. I've got nothing more to add to that.
Good future for all of them.
a great sign for Santos Escobar in that he just got beaten up that 3-on-1 last week, and immediately they gave him his heat back. Like, they're not doing this for just any cruiserweight champion. They see something in this guy.
Yeah,
they should be, yes.
Then Regal makes his announcement, and we get to the main event. This is Finn Balor versus Roderick Strong. Have a very athletic match. Roderick Strong is back to his generic music, which is terrible considering how great the Undisputed Era music was. And they're just going back and forth. Balor eventually counters a fireman carry with a double foot stomp, hits a running drop kick of the 1916 for the win. Adam Cole stands at the top of the stage, and they go off the air promoting what really is a big show next week. They're going to have the NXT Championship. They're going to have the NXT Women's Championship. They're going to have a big announcement from William Regal. So a lot going on next week.
There is, and this was fine for what it was. It just, I mean, I talked about the beginning of the show being so vanilla. I want Roddy to do well. He's been a journeyman his career. He's worked very hard to get here. He's vanilla as hell to me, too. I hate saying that.
I agree with you. I agree. I mean, I just cannot care. Like, you know it's going to be a good match. You know the in-ring action is going to be great. But you just do not care who wins or who loses. Finn Balor's just been bland to me this run. I just could not get into it.
It's tough, man.
You know, and these guys work really hard. They have good wrestling matches. But that's not going to be the difference in this company in terms of bringing people back. Like, we're pretty much numb to just great wrestling matches on their own merits. You got to bring more to the table. And these two, as good as they were tonight, I couldn't care less.
Can I just say something? What's so ironic in today's generation of wrestling is, yeah, you're right. We're having the best wrestling we've ever seen. Depending on what kind of fan you are, right? Some of us are still older school fans to a degree. We like ring psychology still. But how many times have you heard me week after week say, I also love the high-paced, high athleticism style wrestling we do have with, you know, I don't want to say the Young Bucks invented, obviously that's ridiculous, but that they kind of started though, from what, you know, that mm-hmm. high spot, Daredevil, go, spot, up, nonstop action type of wrestling. I do like that as far as being a former wrestler and being an athlete myself. It's impressive as hell for me to watch, and I'm always impressed by it. With that said, though, all these matches are considered, in today's generation, so damn good, right? These are amazing matches, very well-wrestled matches. Top to bottom, better than any other generation, one could make the argument, right? Isn't it ironic, though, that they also have the most lack of character development and depth of any generation of wrestling? Look it up.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to crap on today's generation. I'm saying it because they really they have all the wrestling down. Put your time in and energy and your money, mm-hmm. if you've not made it to WWE or AEW yet, into a character that makes you different than anybody else that this show has to have you on, because you give them something different than anybody else in that roster can possibly give them. That's what young talent should be thinking about right now. What can I offer that nobody else can do on this show? They've done – everything's been pretty played out in wrestling. Everything's been tried for the most part. But as far as characters go, you got to really think and dig deep to make yourself different and separate yourself. And that's what's needed in today's generation. Some of them can do it. Lots of them can do it for what it's worth. But I've never seen such a lack mm-hmm. of depth.
There's a reason why MJF shot to the top of the pack.
Thank you.
Because he's one of the few guys that gets the character aspect. Yeah.
Yes.
And I've had a lot of conversations with people who say, oh yeah, I used to watch wrestling. It's pretty much the conversation I have whenever I tell people I cover wrestling. And whenever I have the I used to watch wrestling, they never talk about the wrestling. They never say, I remember that great match.
They're
they
like say, Ultimate Warrior.
Oh man, I remember, I remember Mr. Perfect. He used to spit out his gum, and the Million Dollar Man had Virgil. It's always a character 100% of the time. It's never, I remember when they used to drop that leg and do that wrist lock. Never.
Like, oh, do you remember that Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair match?
No.
It's always, no, I agree.
It's what was Jake the Snake's name again? Or Damien. British Bulldogs. I love the British Bulldog. What was their dog's name?
Like, exactly.
It's those conversations.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I gave a story on my addiction again the other day Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce, right? So there's a Christian group, and I'm up there talking on stage about how I overcame my addiction. And I'm talking about how growing up having, you know, idolizing Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. I had posters of them all over my room. I really looked up to him, right? And then someone from the crowd's like, what about JYD? And someone from the other side, I swear to God, go, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And I'm like, I'm, you know what I mean? It just, that's how it always is, though. You guys see it, right? Yeah. That's how it always is. Because they remember these larger-than-life characters.
All right.
They'll never forget them. Yeah. These were like some older people. Like, I was really impressed. They even knew who some of them were, but yeah.
I mean, we're going long, so I don't want to get into it too much. But like, you watch the Young Rock show, and they have those, they have these actors playing the old wrestlers, and they don't come close. And it just shows how hard it is to find someone that can match that charisma. Yeah, I mean, the guy playing Randy Savage is just god awful.
Oh,
yes,
atrocious.
Yeah,
I agree.
So, that, well, it goes off the air. So, NXT is, that's your NXT report, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, I think that about does it, guys. Did you have, Matt, did you have anything else?
No, sir.
Alfred?
Just follow me on Twitter at This Is Nasty. On Forbes, I'll have an interview with Tony Khan.
Ah, very cool. And obviously, keep checking out wrestling.com. We just had Chavo Guerrero. We've got tons of stuff coming up. And, yeah, we're going to have live coverage of AEW Revolution this Sunday. So keep checking out WrestlingInc.com. Thank you again for checking out the Wrestling Inc. podcast. We'll be back this Friday. Matt Morgan, Issa, and Glenn Rubenstein with the post-SmackDown review. And then we'll be back again this Sunday with the AEW Revolution podcast. It'll be Matt, myself, and Alfred. So the three of us will be covering AEW Revolution this Sunday. So check us out, and thank you again, and we'll see you again soon.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.